All right, welcome to the Gab and Jules show. Jules, we're here. We have our two Champions League finalists. It's Bayern Munich and it's Paris, the team normally known as Paris Saint-Germain. I want to get right into it. We'll have time later to talk about Barcelona and Lyon and Leipzig and the losing semifinalists and crickets and all that good stuff. But let's get right into it with a man who was there, man in the know, Jan Åge Fjørtoft, a man always on the move.
Always.
As he's joining us from his parked vehicle. Jan, all right, Bayern steamrollered, road-graded Barcelona and Chelsea. But against Lyon, they played their high line. They played their aggressive high press, ball over the top. Lyon created plenty chances against them early on because they've got quick strikers. I wonder, is this a problem for Flick? We've seen him sit deeper, for example, against Borussia Dortmund before. Might he be tempted to do that rather than to go out and expose his high line against people like Kylian Mbappe and Neymar, who sources tell me are both talented and quick?
Well, I think it's a very valid point. I think that Flick, just after the game yesterday, he started thinking of that, because Flick knows, and I know, and you guys know, that if you let a team like PSG get five chances, as Lyon got yesterday or last night, they will lose the final, because Neymar, Mbappé, Di Maria, they will create something, they will score on those chances. But I think that the big question for Hansi Flick is yes, I can go 10 meters deeper, but then the Lewandowski, Müller, they got to go 10 meters deeper as well. And will that will we then lose a bit of aggression? Will we lose that face of the team, or that has made us not lose in 29 games? And I think that is a big question. And if you do that strategy, what kind of consequences can that have for my team? So if you see the back four of Bayern Munich, so the four of them with Davis, Alaba on the left side, they're quick enough, they're okay. Although Davies can attack and Maria goes, yeah, he can go and attack. I will just use that space when we win the ball again. On the other right side, you have Boateng and Kimmich. Could he then think, maybe I should put Pavard in because he's quicker than Kimmich? And what do I do with Kimmich? I have to keep him in the team. Should I then put him in central at the number six instead of maybe Thiago? So the consequence of doing that is that you maybe lose a team that beats Barcelona 8-2, winning 3-0 in a semi-final, and you haven't lost. You've broken all records in Champions League in scoring goals, kind of thing with Lewandowski and all that. So I think there's a big decision for Flick to make. I think it's most likely, although these challenges need to be solved and answered in front of the team and himself, that he will keep going what he's done, because this is Bayern Munich. And he also saw the game PSG against Atalanta. And Atalanta, as long as they were not too tired, they were aggressive. They were hunting the ball and the opponent all over the pitch. So I think it's most likely. But I think for Flick now, there is a lot of thinking to do.
There's big choices to make for him, because even if you drop Thiago to bring back Kimmich in midfield, PSG will press at times. And we saw against Leipzig, the second goal just before halftime came from that press, and Guendouzi made a mess of it, but still they were really, really high. And Thiago would be perfect to try to beat that press and play through the press, maybe better than Kimmich and Goretzka together. So for both managers, I think, same for Tuchel, do you bring back Verratti, who would be fit enough, I think, to start, but hasn't played much at all in the last 2 weeks?
Would you bring him back?
I would bring him back, because I think that there will be times where Bayern will press, and he's your best player to beat the press in Paris. So I think both of them have to make so many fascinating choices in how deep you play or not, or how high you play or not. Do you go like a sort of a mid-block press, and where you're not too deep but you're not too high either, in between? But then if you leave the ball to PSG, they can hurt you still. I just think for both Flick and Tuchel, and by the way, it's really rare to have two managers of the same nationality in the Champions League final. I think it's only the fourth time in history. And they know each other well, and I don't think there's many secrets at all between Bayern and PSG anyway, and Tuchel and Flick. It's just fascinating to see what they would go for and what they would choose.
It's also very interesting that strategy and tactic and formation, how that depends also on the players you are putting in your team. And not only that, what will that do to your team? So if you take out Thiago is on his way out. Will he then, the three last days now, will Flick think now it's better that I keep my team? He had the team he put out yesterday was the third time in a row he had the same team. Why should he change it around for a final? Will he think that now we are Bayern, we will go for what we believe in? And I think that is the fascinating thing of being a manager of a football team. You are both a coach and a leader, and somehow you got to mix that as good as you can.
Jan, what I find really interesting, I mean, you touched upon the two managers. I think it's right. I think there's so much to break down tactically in this game, so many possible variations. But I'm just curious, Flick is obviously somebody who's got the respect of the players. He was a number two for the last 15 years with the German national team. Obviously came in as a number two here, but obviously is also a former Bayern player. Whereas Tuchel is somebody who, you know, came up the hard way, if you will, somebody who's been very, very creative as a manager in the past, going back to his days at Mainz, unusual formations, unusual setups, and then in some ways had to become a more standard, more orthodox manager, more of a man manager perhaps at PSG this year because of the players that they have.
Yeah.
In this final, how important is it, I mean, who for these two managers to get buy-in, to get the trust of their players? Does it change ahead of a final?
Well, I think that what will sometimes you try to describe the manager, sometimes you try to compare them, and I think that Tuchel is more pragmatic into that thing, that sometimes you can maybe, if you're a bit critical to Nagelsmann, they wouldn't have won the semi-final anyway, but sometimes he as well can be tempted to overthink. I mean, Pep Guardiola being the professor of overthinking, but Nagelsmann can do the same. And Tuchel somehow in his way of doing things is seems very pragmatic. And I think that you touched upon a very vital thing there. I think was Tuchel, what we will remember of this PSG team, what I will remember at least, follow them in different times, with different interviews, been in different games with them, is that how has he managed, and the players, they say they have done it themselves, but how has he managed of all these individuals to make a team? And that's what I find so fascinating with football, because you can have a professor in kind of tactics, but that doesn't help if you're not a good leader. And Tuchel was very criticized in Dortmund, and he was fired in Dortmund after winning the cup final. But he as well has taken another step. And Flick, you mentioned, he's been number two, but he's always also got the background of being that sport director kind of guy. So he has learned to be also a leader. And I think that is very valuable going into this final, because tactic, they know each other so well. They've seen each other 1,000 times. They follow each other in all their coaching career. But who managed to get the boys going? Like, Julian know a lot about, more than me, about that. But the way, like, Neymar now has changed to be a different player. I mean, what happened to his brother who was diving around in Paris, and like, his body language? And now suddenly this other Neymar is coming, showing that he's one of the best. And I think that is so fascinating to see when individuals kind of glue into a team.
Jan, we're going to have to leave it there. Thank you so much. And I think you photographed it perfectly, the contrast and similarities between these two managers. We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/gab. Just go to Indeed.com/gab right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/gab. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. All right, Jules. As we said there with Jan, obviously there's so many tactical permutations.
Yeah.
Help me out with Paris Saint-Germain first. Is the only question mark whether you bring Verratti back in place of Herrera, or is there another possible permutation that Tuchel can come up with?
I think there's question mark over Paredes as well. Do you play him? Do you not play him? Do you bring Idrissa Gueye, for example, who's fit again, who maybe can put more pressure in terms of, you know, physicality, running?
But then you lose Paredes' passing.
Exactly. And we saw against Leipzig, and Paredes had time to tie his shoelaces, to start, you know, light up a cigarette, having a drink, and then he could pass the ball because there was no pressure on him. I still think that even under more pressure from a Goretzka or from a Thomas Müller, he can still pick a great pass, break the lines, and we see him and Neymar are very, very close off the pitch. But you see also that relationship on the pitch. So, do you play Paredes or not? Do you start Verratti and take a bit of a risk, although he's fit? I don't know. The rest, I think you still leave Icardi on the bench and you play your front three of Di Maria, Mbappe and Neymar for all the reasons that we explained with Jan and all of that.
I'm curious to this idea that we mentioned overthinking, and there's an argument to be made that Nagelsmann engaged in some overthinking in that semi-final.
Yeah, why changing?
And obviously we talked about Pep's overthinking, right? But equally, I kind of think, especially if you're the weaker team, I don't think that that's overthinking. I think you're trying to do something to give the opposition another look to give you an edge.
True, but Pep was not the weaker team.
No.
Yeah.
No, but you can make it
obvious. Nagelsmann was.
And arguably, Tuchel is in this situation.
Yeah.
So I think that's an interesting one to look at. For Bayern, we saw Boateng come off. We saw Süle come on. As you know, I love Niklas Süle.
Yeah.
As you know, I had him as a regular when we did our ESPN
Battle
of the Leagues.
Yes, you had him. That cost you the title, yeah.
But, by the way, can I just point out, it was Bundesliga against Ligue 1 in the final.
We told you.
We told you it was going to happen. If you have Süle on there, I mean, I know he's fast over longer distances, but he's not quick over short distances. That gets very ugly very, very quickly. The point he made about Alaba and Davies being able, they're fast, it's no problem. But if you send both fullbacks, which is what you do if you have Kimmich on there.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, Davies may be very fast, and Mbappe's also fast. And if Davies is 30 yards up the pitch, Davies ain't catching him.
And Lyon's biggest chance is Toko Ekambi in the first half at 0-0, and it's on Davies' side. And it's because Davies, as great as he's been, fantastic, especially going forward, defensively, he still has a lot of flaws. And we saw that on that big chance, Toko Ekambi. The second chance in the second half that Toko Ekambi had that Neuer saved is also on Davies' side. So yes, of course, Dalaba and Davies are quicker, but I still don't think that in terms of positioning, in terms of their line, it's perfect either.
So then the temptation might be play Pavard, tell him to sit, so you've got an extra body back there.
Yeah.
Well, he's going to sit anyway. Move Kimmich into midfield, sacrifice Thiago, you can bring him on as a game changer if you need it, and just say, you know what, we're going to sit a little bit further back. You know what he said about, but Müller and Lewandowski will be further away from the goal. That's fine. They have enough passers in there that they can pass their way so that the whole team advances up the pitch.
Yeah.
Is that?
I think that's what's going to happen.
You think that's what's going to happen?
Yeah,
you think he's going to ditch what got them this far?
I think Pavard comes on against Lyon for the last, 15 minutes to prepare him for the final.
Well, we also had Boateng coming off. I guess that was just sort of also make sure he didn't get injured, right?
I think he had a slight hamstring problem.
But he's going to be fine for the final?
I think he should be fine.
Because that is a huge call.
Yeah.
If he goes out, I wonder if you're almost tempted not to bring in Süle.
And play Lucas Hernandez.
Maybe Pavard centrally?
Yeah, maybe Pavard centrally. He's got a few options, for sure. I just refuse to believe that he will play like they did last night or against Barcelona, same way. I think they will change something. As we said, it could be just dropping 10 yards. It could be changing a little bit, not the formation, but the personnel and the players. And as we said, Pavard. But I refuse to believe that. If he does that, then I think PSG becomes the favourite and could really go and win this.
All right, this is where if we were a normal show, we'd be asking for predictions. I don't think there's any need to ask for predictions because they're stupid.
Do you think it's 50-50, really? Is it 60-40 Bayern?
I think Bayern perhaps have a slight edge, but I mean, I'm more interested in how the game's going to unfold. And this is something that, I think casual viewers watching are going to notice how the game unfolds, how the game changes if there's an early goal. You know, it's... As we said, there's so many options, so many permutations, and I'm always interested in, as a coach, you get this far. You're only going to play a handful of these huge games your career.
Yeah. If you look at Bayern's number in the Champions League, it's scary, right? I mean, Lewandowski scored 15 goals.
In nine games. He's scored in every game that he's played in.
I think they've scored 42 goals in 10 games so far. They've won every single game in the Champions League. The only team who's made the final after winning all their games was AC Milan in 92-93.
How'd that work out for them?
Exactly. And you know that between now and Sunday, I'll be looking at every little thing that can make me more hopeful and more optimistic that my team will win the final.
I believe that was against the French team as well, no?
Exactly, against Marseille. Milan then lost the final, the only game they lost after winning everything prior to that. And I'm obviously hoping that, you know, Bayern Munich do the same. But if you look at Gnabry's 9 goals, Lewandowski, 28 wins and 1 draw in the last 29 games. I mean, it's just crazy.
Yeah, I mean, look, it goes there. And they've got variants as well, right? Kingsley Coman, yeah, right? Former PSG guy.
Yeah.
He'd probably enjoy coming on, getting a run. What I will say, though, about Paris Saint-Germain, and again, I've touched upon this in the past, right? So they're depicted as sort of, you know, showbiz, glamour, prima donnas, blah, blah, blah. But this is a final of the Champions League. It's the first one for Mbappe. Neymar's been in other ones, but never, you know, in this role. I think this is one situation where it's not difficult to motivate people, to keep them on message, not difficult to get them to track back and do, you know, all the things that supposedly they don't do. So, you know, we're going to see them at full strength. One thing I was wondering about, obviously said success with the 4-3-3, is there any chance he might throw a curveball and maybe play a traditional striker like Icardi well? With the idea being that if I play Icardi with Neymar and Mbappe, then I take the opposing fullbacks out of the way. Right? There's no way Davies and Pavard or Kimmich or whoever plays a fullback, no way those guys can attack. And does that then pin Bayern back?
I think it's a very good idea, and I'm sure they will think about it. The problem then, you leave only two midfielders in your 4-2-3-1 or your 4-4-2, which means that you'll have Marquinhos and Verratti or Marquinhos and Paredes against the two Bayern midfielders, who are Goretzka and Thiago, let's say. But then you've got Thomas Müller who has got a free role just in behind Lewandowski. If you've got three midfield, Marquinhos, Verratti, Paredes, Marquinhos can always be more or less in Müller's zone. Or if you just have two, then I think you'll have to maybe run more, be very clever in your positioning to make sure that you compensate and you're... I don't know. I think that Tuchel would go for, okay, let's be solid, because then up front, even if we play just with three, Di Maria, Mbappe and Neymar, you still have enough.
Well, Leon showed that you can succeed being solid and relying on the break. It's funny, Bayern's back four, they were completely eviscerated. I watched on Sky Italia, Fabio Capello and Billy Costacurta saying, I don't understand, it's fine to play a high line. We did that too at Milan back in the day, and of course they're referencing stuff from 25 years ago, but you can't just sit and be square against fast strikers, because any basic ball over the top, it becomes a foot race.
Yeah.
You do not want to have a foot race against Neymar and Mbappe.
Yeah.
Does that surprise you?
It does a bit, and I've said to you before, I refuse to think and to believe that Bayern would play against PSG on Sunday like they did against Barcelona and against Lyon. I mean, I thought against Lyon, and you saw it with the first big chance for Memphis Depay. I know it was really, really early on, and it's a ball that Kakré intercepted from the Thiago pass and then plays it very quickly. But if you leave that kind of space and time to Verratti or Paredes, they would pick a pass just like this to Neymar and Mbappe. And I also think that the variety that PSG have in the game, they can play long. They've got the players to play long over the top. They can play in your feet to Neymar, who can then dribble past two or three people without problem at all. Same with Mbappe. Just think, like, this is a lot for Bayern to defend and to think about, whether it's a high line or, again, a mid-block. But they will have to put a lot of pressure in midfield. And I think if PSG beat that pressure, then they will expose the Bayern's defence. I just think PSG have scored in 34 Champions League games in a row now, equaling Real Madrid's records. As we said, for Bayern Munich, they've been scoring for fun against whoever they face this season in the Champions League. This is going to be one of the best finals we've seen. And what was the last good final that we had, really?
The last competitive one was maybe Juventus against Barcelona.
Yeah.
which was competitive for,
which was
for
what,
a long
2015
stretch.
So yeah. 5 years. And I think this one is going to be right up there with that. We're going to see goals. There's going to be a lot happening. Tactically, it's going to be fascinating for us before the game to work out, after the game to dissect. I think it's just going to be fantastic.
You asked me off air whether these were the two best teams in Europe.
Not on paper, from what we've seen.
From
in
what
the
we've seen. From what
so Liverpool,
perform.
For example, lost at Napoli, lost against Atletico twice.
Look, I think these are the two most deserving teams to be in the final. Are Liverpool a better team? Manchester City?
I
don't know. Real Madrid, maybe. I don't know. But the fact is, these are the two most deserving teams based on what they've achieved in the competition this year. And it's been a tremendous competition.
Yeah.
You know, and you know the Atalanta, Leipzig. You know, we saw peaks of football. But I think in the end, you're right. I think these are the two most deserving teams to be in the final based on what they've, on how they've played in the Champions League. Stay tuned. The game will be on Sunday where you are, unless, I suppose, if you're all the way in the States, it might be very early Monday morning. Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit $1 million stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify is your no excuses business partner. Sell without needing to code or design. Just bring your best ideas and Shopify will help you open up shop. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/gabjules, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/gabjules now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/gabjules. All right, as good as the Champions League final is, we got something much better now. It's time for Quick Hits.
Let's go, Gab.
So it's official now. Ronald Koeman is the new Barcelona boss. But for how long, Jules?
Good question, Gab. We know that elections are coming. We're not sure exactly when they're coming. It still seems to be that next summer, with the process really starting from March onwards. And we also know that if Victor Font is elected as the new Barcelona chairman, president, then he will sack Ronald Koeman and will bring Xavi as the manager, which would be weird because Ronald Koeman surely agreed to take the job knowing that there was a possibility that he would only last a season.
Well, and knowing that the Euros are going to be on next summer too.
Yeah.
Which you would think Holland would be in the mix to win it, right? Having won the Nations
League. I
think so. This whole thing is very odd. I mean, Ronald Koeman was presented as the safe candidate for the job. I think he's definitely the cheap candidate. Can you say, like, hey, Ronald, come here. This is what you have to work with. There's no money unless you sell somebody.
And you knew he was not going to ask too many questions. You know?
No. So. And he's going to have Barcelona on his CV. And I was thinking about this. You're right about Victor Font. Because come March, I mean, unless Koeman has completely screwed the pooch and Messi's, you know, locked himself in a room and whatever. But if it gets to the point where he's going to be sacked at the end of the season, regardless, right? And there's all these attacks on him. He's going to have a perfect alibi for the end of Barcelona's season. And he can walk away after a year with another season's wages, right?
Yeah.
And he's going to say, like, guys, it was an impossible situation, right? I mean, you have to screw up very, very bad to damage his rep.
And what happened if he does really, really well? So they sign Van de Beek. They play great football. Griezmann, Messi works so well on Sufati. He's great. The young Van de Beek in midfield. The defense is solid. I don't know anything. It's really, really good. And then Victor Font gets elected. What happens?
Maybe he doesn't get elected in that case. I don't know. Time will tell.
Yeah, time will tell. And there's plenty of talk of Barcelona having to shift some players and get some money. Even Gerard Piqué is linked with Fulham. Yes, that's right. Gab, how successful do you think they would be at raising cash and selling those players that they want to on huge money, over 30? Good luck for them.
So the secret to selling well is to have very talented, competent people who are good at driving bargains. Like, unless they take Daniel Levy on loan from Spurs, that means that the people selling the players will be, as long as they're in their jobs, yeah. and it might not be much longer, will be Eric Abidal and Grau and people like that. So I wouldn't have too much confidence at all. The reason that these people are difficult to shift is that they're all on big wages, and yeah. people don't want to take on older players on big wages. The guys who do have a market, people like De Jong and Ter Stegen, are people who Barcelona probably don't want to lose. So I think it's going to be a really, really difficult job. I think you will see swap deals with other clubs that are stuck with big players on big wages, like we saw with the Pjanic-Archer deal. But no, I don't see much more than that. Sevilla, the kings of the Europa League, go at it again Friday night against Inter. Jules, I want to ask you about Monchi. Now, we always talk about stability and then takes time. Well, in the summer, he brings in Lopetegui. He brought in eight of the guys who started against who started in the semifinal against Manchester United. Two of them actually only arrived in January. And they're in the Europa League final. They have 11 points more than last season, two places higher than last season. What's the secret here? All these people whining, crying, it takes time, build the team, blah, blah, blah. Why is this guy such an instant success here?
And I think what's even more interesting is when he went to Roma, he left Sevilla to go to Roma. And I think a lot of people got really excited. Oh, yeah, let's see. And that just didn't work out for him. It might not have been just his own responsibility. Maybe the way the club worked and etc. Maybe the Italian mentality being very different. I don't know exactly why, but it didn't
work. An idea, and I'll tell you.
Yeah,
what's there.
But he just goes back home and works the magic again, like he did all those years before under Emery and other managers, going to a market that he knows really well, where his scouts are very good, like France, and go get Jules Koundé and Diego Carlos and people like that, Lucas Ocampos, of course, and then put them in the right environment where they can express themselves properly. And I just think the guy's a real genius. I know he didn't work out at Roma, but I still think he's...
By the way, fun fact, Monchi, Lopetegui, I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, listeners, I don't know. I think they might be the only director of football manager combination to win a European trophy, if they win it, who are both goalkeepers.
Yeah,
I know.
Right. You mentioned that before. Well, talking about Italian club, it's been 10 years since Inter last were in a European Cup final. And what do they need to win this one against Sevilla on Friday night?
Of course, last time was when they did the treble under one Jose Mourinho. I think what they need to do is they need to be very careful out wide, but not overly careful, because this is what tends to undo Inter, when they freak out too much about the opposition. Obviously, Reguilón and Navas are going to be threats, but you know, you can attack them on those flanks. I think they match up pretty well with the 3-5-2. And look, Lukaku and Lautaro, right? You've got two people through the middle tying up both center halves. People aren't used to that. I have Inter as slight favorites in this, but I think it's going to be
Were you surprised the way they dismantled Shakhtar completely and how effective they were? Because I don't think they were brilliant on the day, but they were just so clinical, so good when they pressed.
Craig Burley
so aggressive.
Didn't enjoy it, but...
Didn't he? No,
I'm not... When they're good, this is what they do. This is where they bring that intensity. They bring those automatic movements. And also, the last couple of goals were sort of garbage time goals.
Obviously.
So, you know, not really five goals between these two. But no, this is what Conte needs to channel. Bayer Leverkusen have supposedly given Chelsea a deadline for the signing of Kai Havertz. And it's a week from Friday. Jules, do these deadlines mean anything?
I don't think they mean anything. I think negotiation can still continue. I think it's a way of putting pressure on the buyer. If you're the seller, I'm a bit...
And if you're the seller, you just laugh at it and say, only one that matters is October 5th.
Exactly. That's the only deadline. However, just quickly on that Kai Havertz deal and Chelsea and Bayer Leverkusen, skeptical is maybe too strong. It's not that I'm skeptical or pessimistic, optimistic. I'm a bit surprised by everything that's been written, especially in Germany, far more than in England, on the conditions, on what Havertz wants, on how much money he seems to already have agreed with Chelsea. It's huge wages for a kid of his age. It would be a huge transfer fee.
You don't really believe that 20 million a season, do you?
No, but that's what people are writing. I would still believe very naively that people don't make up stuff and that they actually write things that
they've
been
told.
I don't know, but a lot of people are talking over this deal, which, again, is surprising me. But if Chelsea are really keen on him and they want him, and maybe he's so good that if you have the opportunity to sign him, don't miss it, because that opportunity might not come back anytime soon again. But I don't know, there's something about the whole thing that I'm not too comfortable.
You know what's really weird to me too? City, United, both have a lot of money. Both could use strengthening in the area. Those names haven't been mentioned at all. They haven't been linked one bit. And also Bayern Munich. If Thiago goes, all of a sudden you're going to have money and flexibility. They were strongly linked to him a year ago. Just an odd story.
David Silva will be joining Real Sociedad next season, Gab. And yet, lads, you are really upset. Why?
Because they thought he'd signed for them. They spent, Iglitare came out. He said, I've got tons of respect for David Silva as a player, but I don't have no respect for him as a person. Now, we don't know what happened, but Lazio contend that the whole time they've been talking to his agent, and the agent said, yep, everything's done, he's happy to come. Issue is they never spoke to him. His father went on the radio saying, well, they didn't actually talk to him. They spoke to the agent. You feel let down. This stuff happens.
Yeah.
I can't judge. David Silva does not look to me to be the kind of guy
who is shady or whatever.
Yeah. So seems like an odd one to me.
Would you pick Real Sociedad ahead of Lazio? Again, he has his own reasons, I'm not sure, but Lazio are in the Champions League, and Real Sociedad might make the Europa League if they win the Spanish Cup, but...
Maybe he wanted to go back to La Liga. See, although he's from Canary Islands, and San Sebastian is the opposite of the Canary Islands. I have no idea.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart?
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
Throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Mark Ogden is reporting that Manchester United have yet to agree terms and commission with Jadon Sancho and his agent, but they still hope to sign him. You surprised that isn't further along?
I'm a bit surprised, I have to be honest. For the, they've been talking for quite a long time, right, to Sancho and his people, and you would that would be something that would be sorted out pretty quickly.
I also think it's the oldest trick in the book, especially when dealing with United. Like, oh, yeah, you want us to pay us how much? Okay, yeah, sure, that's fine. And then he's getting a little closer, like, oh, by the way, you know how we said that we wanted this much?
Actually,
how about
we do
a little more? You know?
It would still happen, right?
I don't know if it happens this summer, but it might happen next summer, but obviously things are pointing that way.
Ralf Rangnick obviously won't be coming to Milan. We know that, Gab, but he's no longer in charge of Leipzig either. So
or Red Bull's general
headquarters, whatever you want to call it. So what's next?
I think it's a curious one because, like, 101 reasons he wouldn't have been right. And if he wants to become, you know, das Oberkommandant of a club, ain't going to be at Milan. But
it ain't going to be anywhere, really. No one in the top clubs can give that to someone right now, right?
I know. Hypothetically, right? If you were an Everton or a West Ham, I'm being purely hypothetical.
You were saying,
we have money, we're in the Premier League, Ralf, 5 years, turn our production line, replicate what you did for the Red Bull Group. You don't think that would be appealing?
Yeah. Yeah, I think it would be. It's still a big gamble. I still think it's a gamble because because you've got no assurances that it will work.
You never have assurances when you hire a manager, but
I know, but this is different. Hiring a manager and hiring someone who's going to restructure your club from top to bottom, who's going to be the boss about everything, this is different.
Yeah. Again, I don't think he should be managing and being technical director at the same time, but the appeal of what he did there, I think, is pretty special.
Yeah.
Now, I have zero interest in this, but many are excited by the Premier League announcing its fixture list.
Why are you not excited?
Because...
Don't you want to know who Liverpool play first or who... When is the first big clash of the season?
Well, first of all, most of these games are going to be moved for TV anyway.
Yeah, but they move from Saturday to Sunday.
To me, this is only relevant. I know people get excited about it, but on Twitter, people are like, oh, Borov, it's so exciting. I know it's important to fantasy players for reasons I don't understand. I don't play fantasy. No, it's just simply the fact that I'm glad that we're going to have football. This is only relevant in terms of travel. If you're a traveling fan, if you want to make plans to the stadium, whatever, right? Right now, we can't go. Fans can't go. So I don't see how this is relevant. What was relevant to me is that the weekend of September 12th, the Premier League is back.
Yeah.
That gets me excited. But you know what? I knew that 2 months ago. I don't need a freaking fixture. I don't care if Liverpool
You know that Liverpool play Leeds on that first game, which is very exciting. Marcelo Bielsa against Jurgen Klopp.
It would be just as exciting to me if Liverpool were playing
Wouldn't. That is rubbish.
No. Bielsa would be playing somebody else. Well,
that is rubbish. You want to know that Liverpool then play Chelsea and Arsenal?
I'm sure they'll play Chelsea and Arsenal twice each next season.
Yes, but back to back again, which I mean, United have a hell of a run in at the end of the season with really tough games, which could make a difference.
But again, with this run in stuff, it's so far into the future.
But it doesn't matter. It's already thinking, okay.
I just want football back. Please tell me it'll be back that weekend and I'm fine with it.
Fair enough. After being linked to Hertha Berlin, Weston McKennie now looks close to Southampton. Is that a better option for him, better deal?
A whole heck of a lot better deal than going to Hertha Berlin, given the zoo-like conditions at the club. I think it would be interesting to see him at the Premier League.
Yeah, I agree.
He's not been at a settled club like Schalke. Obviously, Schalke's 101 different issues.
Yeah.
So let's see what he can do. Obviously, he's going to work for a manager who knows well what he can achieve. And, I think this is a chance for him to grow if the deal goes through and if it happens at the right price.
And he certainly has, the profile that Hasan Hurtel would look for a player, with all the activity and how active he is and intense and all of that. And I think he suits the Premier League very well as well. I think it would be a very clever move.
And won't have too many issues with the language, I suspect. Still waiting on Aubameyang, but you tell me it's all done?
Yeah, it's cool.
We're just waiting for the announcement.
He's on holidays. Leave him alone. He's on holidays. He's chilling.
He needs to come back so they can do some cool social media thing.
Come back, and I'm sure they will do some cool social media thing.
Okay. But that's done, yeah?
Yeah.
All right. More interestingly for Arsenal, they're close to getting their central defender reportedly linked with Gabriel from Lille,
I believe.
From Lille. Yeah. So you put Leeds in my head.
That's good. I want you to go sell with Bielsa.
Okay. How cool is it Leeds United are back? As a neutral, how cool is it Leeds? Forget Bielsa. I mean, Bielsa's a bonus.
Yeah.
It's nice to have Leeds back. Sorry. I'm going to try to insert them in every question from now on. But please, continue.
Yeah, Gabriel, who had a wonderful season in Ligue 1 before he was stopped by the pandemic, who's young, 22, who's left-footed. Which I think that's the profile that Arteta wanted, the left-footed centre-back. Young as well. Not too expensive, 30 million euros, 27 million pounds. Who is really hardworking, listens, is intelligent, no nonsense, no fancy stuff. I think he's very efficient. Certainly he was at Lille, so I think he would be a very good signing. There would be the likes of Napoli, of Everton as well, Manchester United also made contact. So I really think if you've got Saliba and on one side, Gabriel on the other side, you've got David Luiz as a sweeper in that back three. I think this is very good from Arsenal's point of view.
Bellerin, let me help you out.
Yeah, Kieran Tierney.
Bellerin and Tierney.
No, but are you sarcastic now?
Shaka, Ceballos. No, I'm just trying to imagine.
Shaka and Ceballos. Usamawa, Usamawa from Lyon, who they tried already to put a foot in there with Lyon, who I think Arteta is a huge fan, and so is Edu. I think they're building something interesting. Whether you like it or not, you're being sarcastic.
I think this is
promising defensively. Right. Listen, defensively, this club has had issues for the last 10 years, right? Since Saul Campbell and Kolo Touré. And I think they're very, very.
Interested in the back three, back four debate and what he's likely to do there. Obviously, you have the back three at the end of the season. You put Saliba in there. I guess we'll see if he's ready to go and start.
Otherwise,
you could be looking at Pablo Mari, who I presume will be back at
some point. Yeah,
he will. Maybe Rob Holding. I don't know. But it's interesting to me to commit to a back three. And to commit to a back three with David Luiz, not so much for the issues that people raise with him, but simply because you're not going to have David Luiz for very long because he's 33. So then you need to find a guy with David Luiz type skills, especially on the ball, and I wonder if they're already thinking in that direction.
But isn't it maybe to give Saliba and Gabriel a bit more solidity certainly to start with?
Play with David Luiz gives them solidity.
Well, back three is more solid than the back four.
Potentially,
you can have five instead of four, and I think then if Saliba and Gabriel, for example, look really strong, you can move back to a back four very easily. And again, I think you'll have a very solid base then at the back, which I think that's what they're looking for.
Interesting one. Just while we're on Arsenal, has the Dani Ceballos ship sailed, or are they still hoping?
I think it would be a very hard deal to make. I don't think he can go back on loan. I think it will be a permanent deal. And I think Real Madrid are in a very strong position as well, because there's other clubs interested and back in Spain too. So,
tell you what, how much do you think Ceballos would cost?
Between 30 and 40 million?
Yeah, I pegged him at 25 to 30 million, yeah. COVID era, whatever. I don't think anybody's going to give you 25 to 30 million for Dani Ceballos if Ceballos says, I want to go work with Arteta, right?
Yeah.
And at that point, if you're Real Madrid and you have this dude, there's extra body there, you know, they don't want to carry excess baggage. I think if Arsenal wait and they really want Ceballos, the idea that we can't get him back on loan, of course you can. I mean, anything, he signed up for 2023 from Real Madrid's perspective. I don't think that that's as unthinkable as people say, right?
Yeah.
So I wonder if maybe Arsenal play a long game there.
Finally, Gab, the Women's Champions League kicks off tomorrow in Bilbao and San Sebastian. Will they get a boost and will we see a Bayern PSG final as well?
Well, you follow the women's club game more closely than I do. I'll let you. I would assume, like everybody, Lyon are always among the favorites. Yes,
they are,
or if
and
not
they play
the favorites.
Bayern in the quarterfinal on Saturday.
So that's going to be a huge game.
Yeah.
I just want to make this 2 points here. One is, I presume most of these women haven't had competitive football in a very, very long time. So that's going to be a much bigger question. You know, much longer than the teams we've seen in the men's championship.
Yeah.
But I would refer you to the fact that what we saw at the Women's World Cup, that if you've got big brands, if it's marketed properly, people will tune in to watch.
Definitely.
And I think in some ways this is pretty seminal for the UEFA Women's Champions League. This is a real chance to really showcase something special to what I think will be a captive audience of fans. So this is a really, really big opportunity, and I hope they take it.
I agree. I mean, some great ties, Atletico Madrid, Barcelona, for example. You've got the Bayern Lyon. You've got PSG Arsenal as well on the Saturday. And you can't have a PSG Bayern final because they're on the same side of the draw, so it could be a semi-final potentially, but Lyon are a huge favourite. And what I find amazing is that, you know who Alphonso Davies' girlfriend is?
I have no idea.
His girlfriend is Jordan Huytema, who plays for PSG, who is a prodigy, and who plays for who's Canadian as well, who's a prodigy, who is fantastic. And you could potentially have Alphonso Davies and his girlfriend winning the Champions League or losing the Champions League the same season.
That is a phenomenal story. And yeah. I also wonder, will they cheer for each other's teams?
Well, that's I mean,
like, is she going to support Alphonso, or is she going to support a club?
I don't know.
In
it's
the men's
crazy.
Final?
And what about him? You know, if PSG play Bayern in the semi-final of the Women's Champions League, who will Alphonso support?
Will he show up in Bayern?
And it's amazing. Yeah, exactly. It's fantastic.
Great story there. Anyway, this brings our podcast to an end. Jules, I am out of here.
I miss you.
Time for some holiday. Yes, don't worry. I'll
have
leave
a good
you in
rest.
The capable hands of one Stuart Robson, who.
Yeah.
Again, much love. I'm sure he'll remind us, but he broke down the Bayern Barcelona game perfectly.
Yeah.
And
we will look into the Champions League final, of course, and the Europa League final on Monday's
show. So join them.